Thank you, Alan, and thank you, John, for those wonderfully appropriate songs. And that alto that I heard was so beautiful. So we're going to keep that up, huh? Wonderful to be able to praise God. And the lesson this morning will be directed in the vein of the songs that John led us in. And if you want to follow along with me, if you'll go to the 6th chapter of the book of Isaiah, it's so important for us to understand who God is and what He does. And even though this is in the Old Testament, and this is the commission and sending of Isaiah, you will find that it's about you and me. My name is Herman Pope, and I am a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. I have a message this morning for you from the Word of God, so that you may evaluate your life and that you may enrich your understanding of the Word of God. May God grant that that is true. I would like to read the entire 6th chapter if you want to listen or if you want to follow along. And then we'll come back and I'll tell you what we plan to do. In the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah says, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne high and lifted up, and the train of His robe filled the temple. I was using my built-in sound system, so I just turned the other one on. So if you had any trouble hearing, but you may hear that. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had 6 wings. With 2 He covered His face. With 2 He covered His feet. And with 2 He flew. And one cried out to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And the posts of the door were shaking by the voice of Him who said or who cried out. And the whole house was filled with smoke. Then I said, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal which had been taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and with it and said, Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away, and your sin purged. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then I said, Here am I. Send me. And he said, Go and tell the people. Keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull, and their ears heavy, and their eyes lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and return and be healed. Then I said, Lord, how long? And he answered, Until the cities are laid waste and without inhabitant. The houses are without a man. The land is utterly desolate. The Lord has removed men far away, and the forsaken places are many in the midst of the land. But yet a tenth will be in it, and will return and be for consuming. And a terebinth tree, or an oak, whose stump remains when it is cut down. So the holy seed shall be in the stump. It is so important for us to understand about the presence of God. Now, if you want to read about Uzziah, he has died. Isaiah is upset. Because the short of it, Isaiah is sad because King Uzziah started out to be a good man. He became king when he was 16 years old. He did many wonderful things. But then he became arrogant. Listen to me. Then he became arrogant and he decided that he was powerful enough that he could go into the temple and offer incense on his own. All who know the Old Testament know that that was not true. They tried to restrain him, but he still was forcing himself toward offering incense. And God struck him with leprosy. This man who started out being a great king ended up being so arrogant until he disobeyed God and died alone. So naturally, Isaiah is sad. And he said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. And then there is a vision that he sees in the temple. I know that those of us who know the Bible are aware that God in many ways, in many different forms, Hebrews 1:1-2, talked to the prophets. Talk to the fathers through the prophets. This is a vision, and mentioning what is going on in the heart of Isaiah will help us understand how Isaiah was impacted with this. He sees the seraphim, the six winged messengers of God. The word angel means messenger of God. When it is in that context. And these messengers of God are bringing a message to the prophet Isaiah. I know that you understand that we refer to Isaiah as a messianic prophet because of all the things that he said about Jesus coming. But Isaiah sees the temple filled with smoke. Everything except a form of God. He does not claim to see a form of God, but God is there. The presence is there. The glory of God is there. And he talks about these creatures, these messengers of God. And they said something that we were singing this morning. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. So I'm saying to you, as we look at Isaiah 6, I want to remind you that when we see God, we worship. You may not see God. You may not know how to look for God. But my friends, God is everywhere. If you were looking when you were on your way to this building this morning, you saw God beginning to make the trees alive. For the first time in a while, we saw a deer in our backyard. And she knows that God is there. She was eating those tender buds off the trees. But Isaiah sees this glory of God filling the temple. And he is so overwhelmed by the presence of God. And he begins to worship God. But he does something else to us. When we truly see God, we realize how small we are, how inadequate we are. I'm standing before you today. I recently had my 80th birthday, and I am so grateful to God that I can stand before you and talk to you about the God that I've served for so many years. And what I would really like to be doing is telling you how my life and the life of my wife relate to this sixth chapter of the book of Isaiah. That would probably take an hour. So count your blessings, okay? Doesn't mean I won't do it some other time. But I want you to know that I identify with this. Listen to it. Woe is me, for I am undone. Because I am a man of unclean lips, that I live among or in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. I am undone, I am ruined, I am helpless. Whatever word fits for being totally, totally crushed by the presence of God. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away, and your sin purged. In order to be able to serve God, once we see our inadequacies, they need to be taken away so that we are in a position to be able to understand what we can do. And so symbolically, the seraphim removes a coal from the altar and touches Isaiah's lips and tells him that all this inadequacy and sinfulness is gone. Then he's ready. What about you? Are you ready to listen for what God wants you to do? I have another question or two for you in a few moments, but don't forget it. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord say, you hear that? Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Ah, now Isaiah is ready. Then I said, Here am I. Send me. It is impossible to serve God without being willing to serve God. I hope that you remember, this is what I want to stir your mind up about. I want you to remember when God took away your sins. And I want you to remember when you started down the road that you're traveling. I don't know how far you are down the road. I had no idea that I was going to live this long. I have no idea how much longer I will live. I have grandchildren and great-grandchildren who tell me I have to live long enough to do the wedding of their kids. So I said, talk to God about it. You know? But here am I, Lord. Send me. What are you doing for God? Have you been called of God to do what you're doing? Is your life of value to God in His kingdom? Now wait a minute. And here's an area where I would have loved to have been able to spend a little bit of time to go back and tell you where this all started with me. God, what do you want me to do? And so Isaiah is ready to say that. So God says, verse 9, and He said, go and tell this people, keep on hearing but do not understand. Keep on seeing but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull and their ears heavy and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and return and be healed. I had a man in our home in Idaho many years ago. We were struggling. There were just a very few of us trying to build a church in that community that had never had a church in it before. A man came to a city not too far from there, and a friend of ours who was from that congregation brought him over. He said, I want you to hear this man. This man is so successful. And this man sat in my living room and told me that he had never had a contact that he had not converted. Now, would you have any idea what I said to him? That wasn't encouraging to me. But I said, well, you must be better than Jesus. He didn't have that good of success. He had no answer for that. But his declaration was that you can convert everybody that you teach. God says to Isaiah, go and talk to these people, but they're not going to listen to you. But you keep talking. You keep telling them. They'll get to where they can't hear with their ears, that will not understand, and they will not turn and let me heal them. Well, the obvious question then from Isaiah is, how long? Lord, how long shall I keep doing this? How long do you want to keep doing something that is not all that productive? And you heard the answer. You may want to read this again and look at it another time. When he asked how long, in verse 11, then the Lord said, until the cities are laid waste and without inhabitant. The houses are without a man. The land is utterly desolate. The Lord has removed men far away, and the forsaken places are in waste in the midst of the land. But He said a tenth will remain. A tenth will remain. Not everything will be destroyed. Because it's like a turpentine tree and an oak tree with the life still in the stump. Now, my friends, that's a commission for Isaiah to go and to preach and to teach. And God is telling him, you are not going to have great numerical success. But God says, do it. I'd like to come to the modern time just for a few moments with Jesus. Jesus got ready to leave the earth after He had accomplished what He came to accomplish. And he said, go into all the world. Tell everybody. Those who are willing to be baptized, baptize them and teach them to do what I've taught you and am telling you. There's where your commission comes in. Are you doing what God wants you to do? It's been quite a journey. And to get personal for just a moment or two, God has given me an opportunity. I'm so glad that I've lived long enough to be able to look back and see and know that I did what God sent me to do. When I said yes to God, I meant it. And thank God He gave me a helpmate who just as strongly, at times more strongly than I, felt what God wanted us to do. And we look back over our lives and we see the things that have been done. There have been some bad times, some difficult times. And I know as long as I live, the devil will not leave me alone. So I'm ready to take him on whenever he shows his ugly self. But just a couple of weeks ago, just before my 80th birthday, I stood in a foyer of a church where 56 years ago, I preached for 10 days in a row. We taught a 10-day vacation Bible school. The man standing with me is in his 90s. He was a young elder, that congregation at that time. They are in their third building. And the church is growing and prospering. And I truly felt the presence of God when we were there worshiping with them. But I was talking with him. He said, Herman, I have macular degeneration. I can't see to read. But he looks real good for a guy in his 90s. And about the time I was saying 56 years ago, I was here and preached in a gospel meeting. And one of his sons walked up, looked like some of you, pretty bald and in his 60s. Okay. And he said, hey, I was a teenager then. It's significant to realize that a lot of time has passed. And that there are some good things going. And as I come down to try to bring this to a reasonable conclusion, someone asked me when I was talking about this and saying this is what I was going to do. They said, well, is the church better now than it was then? You heard what God said to Isaiah. It's going to be like the trees are cut down. There's just some life left. I have such a hard time not renaming Alan John. But I think his name is Alan. And when he read to us from Isaiah 55, he read the passage that says, God said, my word shall not return to me void or empty. It shall accomplish that which I please and prosper into the thing to which I sent it. Well, what does God intend? God intends for us to tell everyone this message. As we sat enjoying a wonderful meal last night with our beloved friends who are going to run off to California. Actually, they're not going to run, they're going to drive. But it's been so great to have them. But with every confidence, we realize they will be serving God wherever they go. They will be taking this message. And Isaiah responded and he said, Lord, send me. Have a friend. He's a couple years older than I am, but he's still alive. I remember about 40 years ago, he called me on a Monday morning. We were living in South Texas then, and he said, let's go to coffee. So we got in the drugstore, sat down to drink some of their awful coffee. And he looked at me and he said, the day before had not been great. It was a good church, great eldership, but that day had not been good. And Jack said, Herman, do you ever on Monday morning want to quit? And I said, yes, Jack. But it takes me about 5 minutes of reflecting on what God did for me, and I decide I committed to this, and I'm not quitting. I want to encourage you that wherever you are in your journey to serve God, that you look for God, that you see God. He is everywhere in everything. And most of all, we live and move and have our very existence in Him. And until we finish our course here, we will not see God in the sense that we want to see God. We can't do that and live. That's what He told Moses. Moses got close enough, if you remember, that there was a great period of time people were afraid of him. His face glowed because he was so much in the presence of God. Isaiah sees God. He hears God. He responds. And he serves God. What are you doing today? Where are you on your journey? Did you make a commitment to serve God and to serve Him with all of your heart? I pray that you did. If you need to redo that, you don't have to come to the front. You're plugged in. I see you. You're not sleeping. You're not shaking your head or beating your watch. You're listening. And that's important to me. I pray that God will bless you to be able to do whatever you need to do and whatever you need to do about it. See God. Praise God. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Hear my Lord. Send me. Now I just have to make one little confession here. I'm still not totally sure what I'm doing here in Warrensburg. Well, I know a lot of it. And I've gotten one answer that's very definite and very clear. I won't divulge that so I don't embarrass someone. But I really don't know exactly what God has in mind for me. And it's all right with me for you to pray about that. My health is not the best. I may not live to be 100. I don't know. I don't even know whether I want to live to be 100 or not. Somebody said, who wants to live to be 100? And someone replies, the guy who's 99. So, we'll see. It's God's doing. But John selected a song for us as an invitation song. And I hope this has helped you to understand where you are and to understand more about God and His greatness. If you need to stop while we stand and while we sing.